Submit to the authority of man. I'm alive, I'm awake. This is more than I can take. If you had an open door, would you kill a little more? That's a question Jordan Page directed to the New World Order. It's a slippery slope when people let the government through the media tell them who is an enemy of the state and then allow their sense of ethics to be shaped by the same. Any of us can be declared an enemy of the state and treated accordingly. I always wondered how the German people allowed the Nazis to do such horrible things. Now I completely understand as I watch similar events unfold right here. My friends, welcome to Double Cross Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Siskiyou Republic out of Northern California and Southern Oregon in the Pacific Northwest. I'm your host, Drew Lamb. I have some guests tonight, my very good friends, Dave Everest, a.k.a. Minor Dave, and Gary Lake of the Siskiyou Republic. What we're going to do tonight is offer you guys a way out of this mess, alternatives. We like to talk about solutions on Double Cross Radio, and the three of us here are really, you know, at the tip of the spear of a movement to restore the Republic. And There's a few ways of going about this. Minor Dave's been a guest on our show many times, as has Gary Lake. And Dave has his own gold mine in the Twin Cedar Mining District. And Dave is the secretary of the Twin Cedar Mining District. And he has also created his own unincorporated municipality. And I suppose he's like the city manager of that municipality. And Dave's had some struggles with the federal government. You know, the federal government thinks that they control the majority of lands in the West, especially in the state of Oregon, the absolute occupied state of Oregon. And as it stands, Dave isn't allowed onto his mining claim for the time being. And he's had an ongoing suit with these guys. He spent 30 days in jail over this, and they claimed that he was occupying his mine and not disposing of waste properly. But these are really just attacks from people that are more in line with Agenda 21 and the UN's mission to push people out of the wild areas and into mega cities. And I've had to deal with this with my family and their ranch, and Dave's dealing with this. Cliven Bundy, who's been a guest on our show, he's definitely dealing with this issue, as most of you have heard. And so what Dave has been doing is he's been showing that the government didn't have the jurisdiction to do what they did. And he's been trying to get back to working his mine. I think he has a partner that's up there and still doing some work up there, but he himself cannot get up there and engage in his trade. And he is a miner by law, and he's not allowed to work. He's ordered not to, and it's his right to be able to work his claim, and so he's doing the best that he can to get back up there, and hopefully someday he'll actually own this land outright. That'll be his to do it as he pleases. Dave, welcome back to the show. I was hoping you could give us an update on what's going on.
So good evening, everybody. The update is from the last time I was on the show, I've been trying to get around the court clerk of the U.S. Court of Appeals. He had some question of the jurisdiction because I didn't put a dollar amount. And I explained that the value of this, they've already spent more than $10,000 in prosecuting me, so that makes the value of it more than $10,000. And so the Ninth Circuit really wrote a trashy piece of legal brief I've ever seen. They did take the time to answer it. Then they admitted right there in the paperwork that they didn't have jurisdiction, and they dismissed it and sent it back to the U.S. District Court, Federal, in Washington, D.C., the second highest court in the land. And because I requested an en banc hearing, and an en banc hearing is a hearing from the full court. I'm waiting for an answer for that. Meanwhile, I've directed my attorney, which he refuses to do, and he's obligated as a trustee, but see, he believes the local court rules here tie him to that he can't handle civil because he's federal public defender. And I've talked to other patent attorneys. They say he has a fiduciary duty to do what I tell him, and he does have the right to argue the civil matter when it goes to the heart of the criminal matter, and that he can argue it, and the magistrate's long. By the way, I'm suing Magistrate Clark, Judge, and Judge Panner, and they haven't been dismissed on them. They haven't even responded to it. So if I get my full hearing, the suit will move forward. It's also against Eric Holder. The suit is specifically against Eric Holder, not him and his office. So you noticed he kind of is leaving office. Well, I think it has to do with fiduciary breaches of duty and more than one. And he's just leaving office. I expect that sometime in 2016 he'll be prosecuted for the crimes he's committed for breach of his public trust. And I believe it and wholeheartedly, but we have to get responsible people in there that will prosecute these guys. That takes a special prosecutor, and Congress could appoint one called the Office of Accountability, and they should be auditing that man from everything he's done. There shouldn't be anything denied to them. They should have subpoena power and everything, and that's just on the crimes of property. Let alone the other heinous crimes he's committed. This guy is an evil man, and so is the Forest Service. But they're bumbling idiots. They're just doing what they think their job is. I told them I didn't care what their job was. What is your fiduciary duty as a government employee, as a public trustee? And there my case lies. You got all 327 pages. That the county commissioners of Josephine County approved. Mm-hmm. By the way, they approved them in Jackson County as well, and that's all about government to government coordination.
Yes, like I wanted to ask you about that. Why is it important for these governments to be able to communicate with you on a government to government basis?
Because I stand as an equal with them. Except as far as an equal in government, uh-huh. meaning that when I'm there, I'm representing my government, and it's just me.
Right.
They have to have somebody there with the ability to make decisions and make agreements. They can't have some flunky there that can't make any agreements. It has to be acting as a government agent with the authority to make agreements.
Is your mining district within the boundaries of both Jackson County and Josephine County?
I'm right on the border. And the mining issue transisted, and there is possibilities I could get claims on the Jackson County side. This is just, I can do this. I can petition any government, any state government, any county government. I could petition a library district.
And they have to deal with you as a government due to the mining district or the unincorporated municipality?
Both.
Fast.
They're both equal. As an unincorporated municipality, the only reason you incorporate a municipality is so you can buy sell city bonds. Then you have to tie a tax revenue to that. So I own all the property with the bounds of my unincorporated city.
Right.
I don't have to incorporate as municipality. I can stand as unincorporated, but then as an independent, without any encumbrances, there can be no property taxes on this property. Point of fact, there's a case. Now, they were an incorporated city, but I stand as an equal with a incorporated one or a non-incorporated one. Doesn't matter. I stand as an equal because I'm a government and I'm an office holder in an organized mining district. Now, it's organized. I have a legal partner that I act as his agent. And then I have Marcus, the guy that's up conducting testing. And he's up and down up there. But anyways, so Marcus is a good guy. He's just trying to survive. And he's up there trying to, he's pretty much located everything. We just now need to be left alone so we could go mine it. And that means bringing in equipment that Forest Service has no say. And now, technically, the BLM, the Forest Service could get a hold of the BLM, and the BLM has jurisdiction to come out and look at it to see if they think we need to file a notice of intent. The BLM looks at it, and as long as you're not dumping your tailing piles on your neighbor, and it's all within the boundaries of your claim, they say you don't need one because you only need one if you're going to cause erosion on your neighbor and bury your neighbor's gold in your tailings. Mm-hmm. That's not right. So you have to deal with this in a responsible way with your neighbor. You just can't dump stuff on your neighbor's property. And in this case, the neighbors might be Forest Service managed lands, or they might be private lands, because I got both next to me. And now that guy's got me, we're kind of kenny quartered. He's in the Jackson County side. I'd love to buy the place for him, but he wants too much money from he says he's saving it for the timber for his grandkids to go to college.
Has anybody tried to stop Marcus from mining activities?
What was that?
Has anybody tried to prevent Marcus from mining?
No. They haven't, they haven't tried, and they've been out, and they've seen him, and they're paralyzed against Marcus, for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, they're kind of, what they did to the Bundys. By the way, if you can ever give me an introduction to Clyde Bundy, I'd love it.
He's a heck of a man. I really enjoyed our interview with him, and after the show. We chatted for about half an hour.
So I want to give out my website before I forget.
Yeah.
It's twincedar.com, and it's all lowercase. And it's a porthole to my YouTube, and I thank Jules for setting it up for me. I just got one more problem. I need the subscribe button, and because I don't have access to my website because Jules set it up, and it's under her encryption. I could use her to put up a subscribe button to to that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can help out with that. I grabbed the code that needs to be dropped into your site to do that, and if she doesn't have the time, if she gives me the keys, then
I like it that yours is encrypted, because it means because with my network, and we're attached right now, it's being shared with my server, so it's heavily encrypted. So you got extra protection tonight that nobody can interrupt us.
So that web address is twincedarminingdistrict.com.
Right, it's a .com, and because it'll take a lawsuit to get it to be a .gov. And I'm not ready to take that fight on yet.
That was my follow-up question there. So, yeah, that would be pretty neat if you could get that on there as well. And
none of the mining districts have been able to get that. They can get a .org or they can get a .com.
Uh-huh.
And it's smarter to get a .com, because then you don't fall under as many stupid rules.
And what is your YouTube channel?
It's David Everest. You can find it that way. You can find another website, another YouTube. It's called Twin Cedar Mining District. Now, there's features in here. You'll see where I got where it'll say my name. Now, when you're on Twin Cedar, if you get the one with just the five videos on, if you go over and hit where it says David Everest, it'll take you into where I'm Secretary of Mining. And you can get my playlists besides my videos.
Mm-hmm. And then I noticed you have a donate button on your site too.
Yeah, I don't know that it's ready yet, because I'm waiting on something from the bank.
Oh, okay.
Somebody's phone's ringing.
Hmm.
Anyway, so what I was going to get into is basically I'm in a wait and see mode. I don't know what else to file, but if something comes up, I'll let you know. But what I found interesting is how some ways Google is wonderful, and a lot of ways I'm not too sure about it. But with this, all this free help I'm getting from Google Plus, there's a lots of free help that will educate you on how to use. How to use Google Plus where you're not marked as a spammer, and you get cleared as not being a spammer, and then you get to do things that you wouldn't get to do unless you go through this program.
So you're using Google to drive traffic to your site and your channel,
right?
To educate people and to gain support for your cause.
Right. Now, I have commercialized this because I had to figure out some way to make money.
Uh-huh.
So there's ads on my website. I'm not selling anything.
Right.
My mission here is to organize and keep the Republic. And as you know, my namesake was at the Battle of Trenton in Princeton. So I feel I owe those men a duty of trust. And, of course, see, I didn't know all this until I started educating myself. And so, if you're not on the internet and you don't read books and you don't have lots of books, I suggest you get, if nothing else, a way to get books and read books and get really good written ones. Get the old books. Get our, get Black's Law, 5th edition. It's up there on an ebook. You can get Bouvier's, What the Constitution Was Written From. Now, it's a little higher to decipher because it's written by eighth graders at the time.
Well, I agree. My wife asked what I wanted for Christmas, and so I was putting together a list, and most of the list was just books. And she goes, "You just want books?" And I go, "Yeah, I want books." I have a Kindle, and I have a few things, mostly anarchist literature on there, and I'm reading Lysander Spooner's No Treason right now, and but it's still, it's electronic. It could go down in flames anytime. It needs to be plugged in,
and it needs to be backed up on an archive. Up.
It could be spied on, all this kind of stuff, and but my books are there. if the power's out, I can still feed them.
See, I live through being spied on my claims, so I figure out here in the open, I'm actually being less spied on than I was when I was at my claim. I feel, I'm just because I'm at my dad's, my family home, so this is comfortable to me, even though some people would look their nose down at it. But it's my family home, and my brother's got it up for sale, and I'll get a share out of it, less some expenses my brother's paid on my behalf.
So we have Gary Lake on the line, and Gary and I were talking earlier today, and he says to me, he goes, did you know that we're in a constitution free zone? And I said, well, yes, I do know that, you know. And he's referring to an article that the ACLU put out a couple of years ago, I think it's been now, showing the map with the USSA border and the 100-mile constitution free zone going around the perimeter, and I was telling Gary that I just see that as a boundary within which the government has no authority. There's no constitution. They don't have any authority. That's the way that I see it.
An opportunity.
Well, first comes jurisdiction, and second comes authority within the jurisdiction, because you have to have jurisdiction. And within the jurisdiction has to state the authority. By the way, Hal came up with that one. I was listening to an earlier show. And that's
Behind the Woodshed. Yeah, I like Hal.
I know Hal quite well. I think he's better on the air, on the radio, than he is in person, because you can get he knows so much, you can get sidetracked and lost.
I think Hal was totally on fire tonight. I had to miss the last 10 minutes of the show while we were getting ready.
So did I.
I'll have to pick that one up on the archive because it was quite excellent.
By the way, I like to market this tonight's show. So if you give me the link to when it gets up on YouTube, I'll market the heck out of it on my network.
Yeah, so archives can be grabbed over at ucy.tv/xx. All of our archives are there, and there's an RSS feed. If you're on Firefox, you might have some problems. It might say
that I did, but I got Google now, so I might be able to do it that way.
Yeah, I think if you're using Chrome or Explorer, it's
good. Using Chrome.
Also, you can go to UCY's channel on YouTube. And
I'll look for it.
Yeah, the archives will go up there.
And it's open source?
On YouTube? Yeah,
I know it's open source on YouTube, but if I grab it off of it, will it be on, from YouTube that I'm grabbing it from, or is it off the website? I don't want to violate anybody's copyright.
Oh, well, yeah, all of our stuff is Creative Commons, so to speak. We don't, Chuck and I don't believe in copyright, so
okay.
Free to.
Well, I just didn't want to walk afoul of it.
And I'd like to say that Chuck isn't with us tonight. He decided to take the evening off. He's at a ball game right now, but he went up to Portland and interviewed with the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. They have a pseudo-monopoly on the distribution of alcohol, excluding beer and wine. And Chuck's coming out of retirement and purchasing a liquor store. So,
that sounds wonderful.
Ironically enough, he'll be in a semi-partnership with the state government. So, but he's
that public-private partnership. There you go.
There you go. He's quite thrilled by all of this, and he'll be.
He's going up to get his liquor license.
Yeah, and I have a feeling he's going to be filling out lots and lots and lots of paperwork. I mean, you must be operating something like that, but it's a very profitable operation, and Chuck has a lot of experience with retail operations, and as he's been semi-retired, he's been working for this liquor store. You know, he takes their deliveries out to their customers, not individuals, but other businesses that purchase through the OLCC. I think I'm saying that right. And like bars.
Oregon Liquor Commission.
The Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Yes, very strange. Oregon is a control state. So here, like, you can't go into a grocery store and buy a bottle of vodka. You have to go to a state
approved sanctioned store.
Yeah, exactly. You could get beer or wine, but you know, but it, in one of our new republics, that really won't be an issue. So,
right, and that means I could get all the brandy I want without going to paying this extortion prices.
Yeah, sell it without having to pay taxes on excise taxes.
Yeah. So, I wanted to say one more thing about my case.
Yes.
I'm never, ever going to give up. I may spend the rest of my life fighting this fight, but I'm just going to expand it because when I can get set up, I kind of need an external hard drive. My laptop's getting old, and I found one. But what I could really use is the tower. So I could and an additional hard drive so that I could back this computer up if this thing dies.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. I know in some of my Gmail accounts I can upload files to the cloud. I don't really like doing that sort of thing, but you know, there's some things where it's not that big of a deal that I'll you know, certain things I'll put on the cloud. It's not that important, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, I don't upload there. But it is there. There's a lot of storage, you know, available, you know.
Yeah, I got, they give me 15, 15 kilobytes or something, whatever they call them, whatever.
Right. Gigabytes?
Gigabytes, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, so I'm planning on using this channel to expound the theory and idea of a republic and a free people. What I need to do is I need to gear this so if people can help out, we could with this I could do where I could do a once a week or twice a week video on YouTube, and then it automatically go up to my website. People could I can't do them live yet. I'm not ready for that, but if when I start doing these, I could do little nuggets and do like a five minute video, so they're not too long, so it bores too many people. And I could do a series on where we've gone wrong, and then I could bring on if we could figure it on, bring somebody on with me to do this, where we can have discussions and bring on people, so where I can grow my content, if you understand what I'm saying there.
Yes, so get the information out there.
I'm getting to the point where I need to raise capital to make the whole thing work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I understand, and you do a lot of your legal defense on your own, don't you?
I do. I've had some small donations that I still got money in the bank. That's what's going to buy a hard drive, but it's going to wipe out the donations that I have received so far for the additional hard drive.
Right.
I found, it's half the one I want to get, but it's the one I can afford. Mm-hmm. I found one at Best Buy. They're the only ones that have it that's compatible with my computer system. So if there's anybody that can help me out there, that would be great. Mm-hmm. I have to work out the issues on PayPal before they can send it through PayPal through the website. Mm-hmm. So until that's worked out, they can call me and you can post my phone number.
So a couple of weeks ago, we had Tony and Tiso on the show, and Tony is responsible for getting the second phase of the State of Jefferson movement off the ground, and then later decided to switch gears and push to restore the Republic through a petition initiative to create the Jefferson Republic within the boundaries of Siskiyou County.
Right.
And all of us worked on promoting that.
Well, I'd like to take on Jefferson County, to organize it, because I think we might have the votes there by a petition initiative, and we could just be, instead of folding into there, we could do Oregon separately. Then we could work out things later. We could take this off at a piece. One person take, you guys take, they take Siskiyou County, I take Jackson, Josephine County, and I can advise on if anybody's interested for Jackson County, because right now I'm in Jackson County.
Yeah, I think Jackson County will be an uphill battle for sure.
It'll be an uphill battle, but there's enough like people. If they see Josephine County go that way, I could see Curry County going that way. I could see Douglas County going that way. That might leave Jackson County in a very weird predicament.
So all of these republics that could be formed can, of course, join together in a union.
They could join together in a union as a state, or they could join a union as a republic to the United States separately.
Right, and Tony makes the distinction between the original United States of America and the illegitimate United States
of America
corporation
of America.
Yes, and that's what we're trying to secede against is this corporation, this illegitimate corporation that pretends to be the government, and right. So what we're working on now, and this is why Gary's on the show tonight, is the Siskiyou Republic in Siskiyou County, and there's a new petition initiative that they're trying to get going. We have to get back to getting signatures again so that the people in Siskiyou County can vote on this in June. Last time, it almost passed, lost by about a 5% margin. And so now we're back to doing this again and seeing if we can make it work this time. And I think it will. I feel very optimistic about
this. By the way, you have to, in this process, you have to strip the old judges of their judgeships. They stay with the state of Oregon. And since they have no more jurisdiction, you can close their courtroom.
Wow. That's fascinating.
And then you could set up your own dispute system.
Sure.
For civil cases.
Right. And you might have different systems in different different.
You could do it. You could do it by local control through your. Well, it depends on, like, if Josephine County became a state, the whole county, it's only a county size, so there'd be only one county. Mm-hmm. So we'd be only under one set of rules.
Right.
And we wouldn't be under these ordinances and these bullshit things from on high, from the dictator, Dr. Death.
Yeah.
Because he's Dr. Death.
Yeah, and what I try to do in contracts that I draw up and enter into, I always put arbitration agreements in there so that we could
arbitrate it through an arbitration system for civil matters. Now, criminal matters like murder and things like that would have to be criminal. But, you know, because you're going to have those cases. I don't care where society is.
Yeah.
Even if you only have 3% the standard. If you remember right, 5% of the population is angels. 5% of the population is criminals. And a criminal told me this one time, when the criminals are in charge, everybody's not safe.
It's true. You know, I like to listen to YouTube presentations by David D. Friedman, Milton Friedman's son, and he's an anarcho-capitalist from the Chicago School. I primarily follow Murray Rothbard from the Austrian School, and of course Ludwig von Mises and Hayek. But David D. Friedman, you know, imagines what a society would be like without government, and when it comes to things like this, like criminal matters, he talks about how this would be handled. you know, because what he talks about is a world where you don't have public police, you don't even have public courts, you know, things are privatized, and this sounds pretty weird to people, but he explains how such a thing might work, where you have instead of public law enforcement, you have private rights protection.
And right, so you pay for your own protection. You don't pay for them to become. So you don't fund them to come after you.
Yeah, and so you would see like insurance companies playing a role in such things, and so
and bonding agencies and underwriters. It could be a profitable business without writing people tickets.
Well, right. So somebody came into your house and stole your television. You would contact your
insurance company,
and then they would launch their rights protection department, or they would contract with another firm that did such a thing, and they would conduct their investigation to see what was going on and what they wanted to do about it, and then say you know that you caught on your security camera this guy, and they're like, oh yeah, that's that guy that lives across the street. They would go over and demand the television back, and that guy might say, well, it's my TV. I bought it. It's mine. You'd have a disagreement, and he might have his own rights protection, you know, through his insurance company. And what people that try to find fault in this kind of a world always jump to the same conclusion, that you end up with different rights protection agents fighting each other, you know, in this constant war, and that wouldn't happen, because that's really expensive. That's an expensive, inefficient way to solve problems and to do business. And so,
well, first off, an insurance agent's going to pull out a pin, not a gun.
Right, and they would have deals with each other, and they'd say, okay, well, you know, we're going to settle this, and so this will go before arbitration or whatnot, and we'll settle it like this. We're not going to have a shootout, you know. And it might even get more complicated than that. Like in murder cases, you might have like some firms that are like pro capital punishment and others that aren't. And so things would have to be negotiated so that people's,
or you'd have to have a universal law that everybody's treated the same within the jurisdiction of where they're at.
Yes, and I think we're getting into an area that's making Gary very uncomfortable. I mean, he's being quiet right now. So we're not trying to tell people how things will be or how they ought to be.
Just a thought.
Yeah, these are just like possibilities. I mean, ultimately, people are going to be able to do away with all the government they want, or keep all the government that they want. You know, I would hope that they wouldn't want government, but I would imagine that this is going to be a gradual process, where there will be some obvious things that we all have problems with that will go away, and there will be some things that are still there, and we'll have.
I have a question for Gary. I have a question for Gary.
Yes.
The question is you know about Indian Trust, right?
Yes.
Did you know that the mining law and the Indian Trust are equal, and we can coordinate with the tribes as lawful governments to coordinate through tribes, the miners and the tribes could join together to fight the federal government over that land ripoff of the tribes down in Arizona. And we get coordination on it. They seem to get more coordination than we do, because you guys have been at it a lot longer than we have. But it could address everybody's rights. See, the problem is they're excluding them. They're trying to exclude the miners out as stakeholders, and they're putting in people that are not stakeholders. And the only true stakeholders here are that we have mutual interest in is you guys have a trust, an Indian trust, and we have a mineral trust for those lands that you guys gave up.
Well, yeah, hang on. Hang on.
Of course, I understand.
No, hang on.
I'm in a modern world. We can't.
No, listen, in a modern world is right now, with all the respect, we never, the Shasta people, you're talking about Arizona tribe, the Shasta people never gave up anything.
Right.
And you live in Shasta lands. And you are the Shasta people's friends. And I love listening to you. You're an incredible, incredible force of nature. I love it. But what is your question? Because I don't think you're asking me a question. I think you're telling me something.
Well, maybe I didn't phrase it right. What I'm looking at is I think that the Shasta people that really, truly want a republic, because I think that you had that before all this stuff came in, basically an invasion, basically, and you guys lost, but now...
No, hang on. No, we have not lost. We're still here. And okay.
What I'm trying to get is I think we could join forces and force, you could do it through the Siskiyou Nation, and I could do the Josephine County, and we could get a couple of guys here in Jackson County, and we could start pushing, and we could start demanding coordination, let alone the election, because the election can come when it's ready. But I think we could... under the two different trusts, the mining trust and the Indian trust, we have some tools here that we could start pushing the issue with the federal government.
I really appreciate what you're saying. I really do. There's a movement. It's called the United Shasta Alliance, and it's basically the farmers, the ranchers, the miners, the Native Americans. And we're all standing up for what is being taken from us. I think that, Dave, I think that you and I and Drew should have a really cool conversation. But you're kind of pigeonholing me into
I don't mean.
Yeah, no. I know you don't. And you know what? You're charismatic. I mean, I love it. I love listening to you. You embody the entire spirit of individuality, and you're like the real deal. And I love listening to you. However, I can say this: your beliefs, my beliefs, Drew's beliefs, the people's beliefs, and the Shasta people's beliefs. United, the farmers, the ranchers, everybody can come together in right now, because this is where it is, ground zero in Siskiyou County. We can unite. We can have a victory. We can set precedents or reset precedents, and then we can move to the next county. And I'm listening to what you're saying, and I love it. My face hurts. My face hurts from smiling, because I'm just listening to you and Drew, and Drew is one of my dearest friends, and I love listening to you. You are the most rough-edged, intelligent person I've listened to on radio, and I love it. I think that we just need to come together as a people, have a victory, and it's going to have to happen one county at a time.
That's right.
And so Siskiyou County right now is the focus. Whatever happens in Josephine County, Jackson County, Klamath County, Placer, whatever, it doesn't matter. But right now, ground zero is Siskiyou County. And I think that any help we can get that funnels into Siskiyou County, and I've said this from the very beginning, will come back tenfold, because we just need one victory. And so, and as far as, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Drew, can you hear me?
Yeah. Continue, Gary.
Okay. So, basically we need a victory, and that victory is going to happen in Siskiyou County first. And then it's going to be a grass fire, and it's going to sweep and clean and reunite. So when we start talking about alliances I can't speak outside of my ancestral territory.
Right.
But I can tell you this, Josephine Jackson and part of Klamath and Siskiyou County is within my ancestral territory. So I think that we have some really incredible things to accomplish. And I think I lost a little bit. I lost track of your original question. However,
you guys as an Indian nation can coordinate with the government. You guys have meetings with the BLM all the time, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
You have a right to do that.
Well, we have a right, yes.
And but all it doesn't you have to happen. Do write a letter to them demanding that you would like to coordinate
no.
your property rights issue.
No.
And then have them come in compliance with the trust.
No.
You don't want to do that. Okay.
No. I'm not saying we don't want to do that. I'm saying we have a right to do that. However, we have been tricked. And the Shasta people, the rightful ancestral Aboriginal stewards of the land, have been dismantled systematically. Because we actually believe in the proper use and management of natural resources. We believe in the proper mining practices, timber harvesting. We believe in all the things that stewards of the lands
would do.
That does not fit in at all with what those who would try to take it away from us. Water is the biggest issue.
I was in one of those meetings today put on by the public-private partnership, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development. And they were in there and they were going over technicals of some maps, and they named off all the list of caretaker stakeholders. None of them there were property owners, and the only ones that were they wouldn't really let me speak. I felt like they were going to have me arrested, so I left. Harry Harrington.
Coward.
Harry Harrington was
kidding.
And I said, look, you guys want to set up some horse shit. I didn't say horse shit, but I felt like it. These rules that affect people, like you guys give out grants to collect rainwater, then you turn around and then you arrest a guy and put him in jail for collecting rainwater for fire hazards, and then you fight him, you make him tear it out, and then for what? And this executive order that a criminal signed doesn't mean anything to me, and it shouldn't mean anything to you. And one guy I recognized there, he's on the planning commission for Jackson County. I've seen him over in Josephine County. I don't know what the hell he was over there for, but I've seen him over there quite a lot. And I explained to him that you can't sit on two boards. It's a conflict of interest. You can't sit on a governmental board, and it doesn't have to do with any money. You could be a volunteer, but if you sit on that board and you sit on this board, you're in violation.
Dave, would you please, I ask, may I interrupt?
Yes.
Okay. I think the solution is this, that county by county, we have to establish a system, whereas we the people run government and not government ruining the people. And the way that's going to have to happen is where the people, our votes count, and it's going to be county by county. So
I'm willing to help you.
No, I know. Oh, I know you are. I know. Believe me, I know. Where we're at right now is we have a unique opportunity. We can set a precedence, a historical precedence. We could literally, create an opportunity to reestablish the republic. And that's probably the most important thing. And how we do that is we have to do it county by county. So we're talking in this conversation, we're talking Jackson, we're talking Josephine, we're talking Siskiyou. I mentioned Klamath. The reality of it is the people's vote has to count. And right. And I can assure you, I said this. Now, granted, I'm not going to say lost. We won, even though it didn't go in our favor, by a 5% margin. That's unheard of. And you know what? That should have been national news. And you know why it wasn't national news? Because it was so significant. It was the pulse of America.
Right.
And so what if I'm hard to follow my heart, Siskiyou County we're going at it again. And we're going to get it this time. And I said before, Jackson County is a work in progress, but Josephine County is ready. So
Josephine County's ready.
It is.
I'm telling you.
Yes. Oh, I know it is. But right now though, we have to set precedence.
Right.
We have to be like-minded. I've got people on the West Coast. I've got Jordan Page. Oh God, that guy.
Hey,
Drew, you know who Jordan is, right?
Yes, I do.
He's a nice guy.
That guy is fantastic. And then we've got Liz Reitzig. I mean, she is, oh my God, that woman is incredible. And she lives in Maryland. She was on the Hill just a couple of days ago and organizing, you know, some against GMOs. I mean, we have so many people that have their eyes on the prize. And right now, that's just one very low populated agrarian style county, which is Siskiyou. We do this, and then the next step is Josephine. I was born, I mean, in Shasta Lands, of course, but I was born in Jackson County. But you know what? Jackson County, there's such a minutia there. I'm not even going to go there. I know the people that, you know, I know a lot of the people that are good people that you know, actually run the county. And they're just not aware. They're not awake. And that's okay, because they will be awake. They got this 50-year promise of water, and it's BS. However, the bottom line is this. What we have to do is we have to establish a precedence where a county, our county, every vote counts, okay? And nothing changes until we find a solution and funding, and we vote to change. I mean, it's like America, my God, we are just we're in such a mess. However, we have 200 plus years of trial and error. We have a situation whereas we don't have to create anything new. We don't, you know, and Drew, I know you might disagree. I fully honor your opinion. We don't have to secede. What we have to do, in my opinion, is honor and respect the original constitutional form of republic government and just reinforce it, because that adds that what that does is that establishes an ability to enhance our quality of life, our children's quality of life, our grandchildren's quality of life. And all we have to do is just reinforce it. I mean, we don't have to reinvent anything. What we need to do is dismantle this
fraud.
Thank you. That's not a four-letter word, but it's close. We don't have to do anything new. What we have to do is we just have to just take away what's bad for now and move forward, because we have an experience, you know. We have this incredible experiment, and right now it's in historical, you know, documentation, it's destined to fall apart, but we don't have to.
Right.
So what I believe in my heart is that right now, if we focus on the Siskiyou Republic and we set precedents, and then we move.
That's an idea.
Yeah,
and idea, because you guys had the first vote. You've actually got some numbers to go on, where I don't have any numbers. I've only got a feeling.
Your feeling is true and heartfelt.
Well, another thing too is that it takes resources. You know, it took money and labor to get as far as we did.
And Drew,
Jefferson Republic last year.
I appreciate your resources, Drew.
yeah, no problem. I'll contribute more as well as my labor. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of us that are behind this movement, and I'd like to see as much of the energy as possible go into Siskiyou County, and you know, and donate your time, donate your money, you know, do whatever you can to spread the word. You know, like we did last time around, and Gary and I were literally just walking around on sidewalks talking to people.
Love it.
Flyers and selling tickets to our Jordan Page Liberty concert, and we were waking people up, and we got lots and lots of support. I mean, it was incredible, and we have to keep that going. But if there's a big push for Siskiyou County, it's like what Gary said. That sets the precedent, that establishes the model, and then others can follow that. And we're just so close. We just have to keep pushing along and get going like we did last year, and then just push a little bit harder, talk to more people, and have more concerts, and I think we could pull this off.
The people of Siskiyou County will not forget. We're from a tribal boundary standpoint, we're very resilient. We will not forget. We will embrace our neighbors, whether it is, you know, Josephine County or it's a county in Maryland. But this is it. This is the reality of America. This was the beginning of America, and this is, you know, probably the only thing that will save America is county by county people coming together and making sure that their vote counts.
Yeah, these changes have to take effect on the local level. That's where we have the most power.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things we have to get rid of is vote by mail.
I'm not sure about that.
I just think that no matter what, every eligible voter, their vote counts. Regardless if it's qualified, every eligible voter counts, because that voter is part of a family, the leader of a family, or an individual, and by God, their vote counts.
Yeah, and then what we could do is you know, is we could start pushing back and doing what Dennis Linthicum calls unlegislation. You know?
Exactly. I love Dennis. That guy is a star.
Too.
He's cool.
Dennis had some things going on tonight, and I told him I had you guys lined up, so he'll come on again next month. We'll have him back. He's just great to talk to. But we could start unwinding these things. Primarily, you know, the federal encroachments, but also the administrative rules that just, you know, cause a regulation drag on businesses. We're coming up on the end of the show here. The bumper is going to start up. You've been listening to Double Cross Radio on UCY.TV. We are live every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week.